I mean, I have so many ideas.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Some are simple, like take down traffic lights and eliminate the post office.
With AJ McCord.
I think this is going to be a really good bonding session. Guys love it when you can show them you're better than they are at something they love.
And Dusty Hera.
I've never taken the high road, but I tell other people to, because then there's more room for me on the low road.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
Don't be all like, I am a guy and I like fire.
The Fan.
Hour number three, AJ and Dusty with you on this Monday afternoon. It's been a busy day here in Portland, the state of Oregon, as Mario Cristobal is gone, leaving for Miami on what's being reported as a 10-year, $80 million deal with the Hurricanes, his alma mater, back in Miami now. It is the fourth Pac-12 job to turn over this coaching cycle. And when you look at the premier jobs in the conference, Oregon, SC, UW, all three changing over in this coaching carousel. To talk about that, we bring on from the Pac-12 Network, Yogi Roth, kind enough to join us. Thanks for taking a few minutes for us. How you doing, Yogi?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fourth different head coach in 7 years for Oregon. It's a little bit different. It's uncharted territory here for the Ducks. There's somewhere we haven't been in quite some time. How did this news strike you when it first started coming out that Miami was a possibility and then Mario Cristobal ultimately taking that job just 48 hours after the Pac-12 title game?
Yeah, I think it's a progression for me. I'm not sure how it was for you all. When it first was rumored, it's been rumored all season, right? Especially when Miami was struggling early on. And I remember, connecting with Coach Cristobal and talking about his roster and how talented this team was, not only this year, but heading into next year. I mean, this team's really built, I think, to be most successful next year if the players pan out as anticipated, right? Ty Thompson, a quarterback, et cetera. You know the roster, obviously. Initially, I was like, he's not going anywhere. I mean, this team is set up to win a natty, and we all know how tirelessly he worked. I mean, he grinded, right, on the recruiting trail, and it paid dividends. I mean, he was as intense of a guy as we've probably all been around in terms of taking his job as seriously as one might imagine. And then as the season went on, I still was like, I could see if, like, LSU and SC, when those opened up, maybe they kicked the tires a little bit, but I don't think he'd leave for that. And then when I, heard in the press conference after the Oregon State game that he, his mother was ill and he went back, I started to think about it a little bit more. And I know from playing at Pitt, for instance, if they called me when I was coaching, I would totally feel the pull to go back to the state that I grew up in, a place that I played. So you start to rationalize that. And then going to the Pac-12 title game, I talked to people at Oregon in pregame about it. And you knew he was getting everything in the world offered to him, right? Like, Oregon doesn't lack resources, as we know. And everyone told me it was 50-50, and it was more emotional than, what are the things that you're going to provide for me? And nobody can touch Oregon's resources necessarily in terms of, well, at least we didn't think people could, right? Like, everybody's kind of up to Yanny over the last couple of weeks. But Miami's not going to have what Oregon has. They're not going to build a branding facility every couple of years and have a Marcus Mariota Center. They don't have the land necessarily and or the backing. So you knew the emotional side was going to play into it. And I interviewed him before the game. I felt the intensity just like I always had. And then as the game was going on and I talked to some players afterwards, and of course Oregon got blown out, you just kind of wondered, he didn't accept the terms pregame, right, that were there. He wanted to focus on the game. And it felt like such a tough pill to swallow, that loss, that I'm putting myself in his shoes. I'd imagine the emotional swing of, losing as they did in that game, and then all the pulls back to home, and really the opportunity back in Miami. I mean, Miami got a chance to be resurrected. And then it started making sense to me, and I was like, I think he's going to go. So that was kind of my emotional journey over the last, 4 days or so.
I feel like that's what it was for so many of us, too. I feel like at the beginning of the season, if you'd broached the rumors of Mario Cristobal going to Miami, it was like, no, he's got everything he wants at Oregon. He has everything he could ever want at Oregon. But then it is impossible to place a price on home and family. And I heard the same thing in his voice that you did after the Oregon State game and the emotion there. So with that, obviously, Rob Mullins now has a job to do here in finding the next head coach for the Ducks. What do you think is something that they're going to be, is going to be a top priority in who they look for?
Well, I'll say this. A lot of people are looking and trying to get into that job right now. The coaching industry knows what Oregon is, and there's still more to chew on, right, in terms of you got everything you need. And quite frankly, like Mario took that thing and flipped it a little bit. You know, he got it tracking and trending and sexy and all the things that we know Oregon football to be in the recruiting circle. And they backed it up for the most part. I mean, I get getting rolled by Utah in two straight games or in two games in 13 days isn't how anybody wanted to finish. But the program's going to be favored to win the Pac-12 North next year, in my opinion, regardless of who the head coach is. So with that said, I think it's really attractive. And I look at two things. One is, do you go and take a huge swing, right? Is that Luke Fickell? Is that Matt Campbell to a degree, mm-hmm. right? Matt Campbell was in line. I think, in my opinion, if Lincoln Riley didn't get the job, he would have been the next guy. If you take a swing like that and get somebody outside the box, right? Mario, he was outside the footprint. Obviously, he didn't grow up here. Wasn't a Pac-12 guy until he came with Willie Taggart and his staff. We all know, obviously, where he came from. Or do you go down the road of, you know, I look at Justin Wilcox, right? And I've known Justin for a long time. And pre-Willie Taggart, Oregon was different than a lot of jobs because it was kind of like, you know, within the family always, right? From mm-hmm. Brooks to Bilotti to Chip to Mark Helfrich. And there was something about it. And I was talking to Nick Aliotti about it on the sideline. We were debating it. Once the game got out of hand, he and I were just kind of watching the game, having fun and talking about, what do you think Mario's going to do? And we started speculating. And you think about what Oregon was when Nick was there, for instance, and the people that I just referenced, they were finding three-star prospects and developing the daylights out of them into the team that eventually played Auburn and the Natty. And we know the history in that regard. Marcus being kind of the poster child for the under-recruited but overdeveloped player that absolutely thrived. So I wonder if they go down that road, right? And you bring in someone like Justin Wilcox, who I get what his record is, but if you follow anything in Pac-12 football, he's been as challenged as anybody in the country the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And heading into the season pre-pandemic, they were like the sexy pick to win the Pac-12 North. You know, is that a builder program, sustain a program? And I don't know, all my friends at Cal aren't gonna, you know, like me throwing his name out like that, but I think he'd be great there. I also look at Kalani Sitake. He'd be great there. There's a lot. It's the same names that everybody else is tossing around.
Yeah.
But I think there's accuracy around some of those names.
We're talking with Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network. This is a very important hire, not just because it's your head football coach, and you have a window right now where everybody was pointing to, hey, next year's going to be the year for Oregon. But there's also another added layer in that USC is appearing to get their stuff together. I mean, from the administration side to going out and getting Lincoln Riley, who's already making an impact on the recruiting trail. What does this mean for Oregon to nail this hire with SC finally getting the ship back on course?
Yeah, I think it's a fair discussion, right? SC made the biggest hire, I think, in the history of the Pac-12, right? I think Chip getting hired at UCLA was huge. Chris Peterson getting hired at UW was huge, but nothing swung the pendulum and attention to this conference like what you just referenced. So I think there's a short-sighted world where you're like, we got to answer that because of the sexiness of Lincoln Riley and recruiting. But I also think there's a thoughtful side of saying, all right, what's going to fit here, right? What's going to really work here? And if you watched Rob Mullins' press conference this morning or ever been around him, I mean, it was as good as you could get, right? He was candid, yet really likable, right? And kind of, you know, also celebrated what was there and what happened. And I think we also have to recognize that college football is in a different place than it was, you know, 5-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think for a coach to be in a place for 6 years is a gift, to be quite honest with you, with the way that the sport is going and the crazy amount of expectations. So do you go, again, to go get an absolute rising star in some of these guys? Or do you get somebody you think like, man, they're really going to love this job? And even then, the stress of the job might only be there for 6 years for whoever,
yeah,
right, ends up taking it. It's a different world in that regard. But I do think you have to think that way. Like, I don't think – I wouldn't recommend Rob Mullins or anybody who's involved to go get the sexiest name to answer the Lincoln Riley call. Right? I'll give you a great example. Doug Nussmeier. He's the quarterback coach for the Cowboys right now. Years ago, he was a finalist for the UW job when Chris Peterson got it. Chris Peterson was the home run hire, and he had everything. It was a perfect fit. But Doug, like, who knows if he would have done well or not, but he wasn't a huge, sexy name. He just understood UW. He's a hell of a coach. Since then, of course, he hasn't become a head coach. I say that because I wonder if Oregon, if they take some big swings at some names that may not fit perfectly, like Chris Peterson did fit perfectly, but say they take someone that we all think might be a little bit outside the box or might go to quote-unquote home if that job ever opened up again back in the Midwest, for instance. You know, I'm referencing Luke Fickell, right, or Matt Campbell. Like, they would totally be of interest if Ryan Day left for the NFL, right? Like, do you go get a guy knowing that they've got a home to go to at some point? Maybe you say, yeah, whatever. Like, everybody's out of here in 6 years anyway. That's just the era of college football, and this is the best available. Or do you say, let me just pause for a minute, and let's look at Kalani. Let's look at Justin, people that have really been in this coast, or Dave Aranda, who grew up in California. I think there's two schools of thought there, and it's going to be enjoyable to see how it shakes out. I do believe, though, that I think Rob Mullins is as good as there is in the country as an AD, and this job is as attractive as there is in the country. So we'll see. They go to somebody in the NFL. Do they go to look at Bill O'Brien? I'm sure they'll look at everybody and then sit back and net out where we're kind of the dust setter.
We've obviously seen how quickly the move that you said is the biggest move for the Pac-12, how quickly Lincoln Riley has impacted the recruiting cycle or the recruiting trail and where players are going. How quickly do you think this move needs to happen for Oregon? How quickly do you think they need to have somebody in place?
It's a tough question because if you said, like, hey, hire him by this afternoon so you keep a lot of those huge recruits you have in a top 10 class, I'd say maybe, but you're probably going to lose some anyway. Like, I think there's natural attrition that Oregon fans should just expect, right? Some are going to go to Miami with Mario. Some are going to go to whatever community they're from, right? Some might go to Florida State. Some might go to LSU. Some might go to USC. Like, there's just going to be some of that that's naturally going to happen. Other guys are going to say, you know what? No, I'm going to stick with it because I love, you know, the possibility of what Oregon can be, and I trust the administration is going to hire the right guy. So I don't think it needs to happen tomorrow. I think it should happen by next week. But even then, if I'm a high school prospect signee, what I would do right now, if I was Rob Mullins or his team, he's calling everyone who's committed right now to Oregon, and I would say, whatever you do, you don't have to sign in the early signing period. I would just hammer that home to these guys because they're going to get squeezed on the other end. Mm-hmm. All these schools that are going to recruit them are going to say, hey, you got a scholarship at SC or at Texas, but you don't have one on the whatever it is, the 16th. You have it up until the 15th if you want it of the month, you know. And I kind of hope that doesn't happen. That's going to happen. So I would highly recommend, you know, whoever's talking to these recruits to say, hey, you don't have to make any decision. Why don't you, number one, wait to see who we hire, and number two, take a visit. Because this weekend is the last weekend of official visits.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if Oregon's going to have it done by Wednesday or Thursday, so then the recruits can book a flight and get out there for Friday. Like, I think that's a little bit of a stretch for me right now. And I wouldn't want to see anything dramatically rushed. I'd imagine it's going to be pragmatic, and they know their top candidates already. I'm sure Justin Wilcox is on that list. I'd imagine Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell, Dave Aranda. I'm sure they're all on that short list of people. But some won't talk until their season's over. Right? Some are still probably coaching the NFL. Like, there's a lot of those dances there. So I would probably take my time if it was me versus, hey, I have to salvage these kids that, hey, in a year, they might bail anyway if they're from out of the footprint versus just getting it right now.
Man, I love your hashtag that you always throw up there, which is how great is ball, but how crappy is business is one of these ones that kind of goes along with it because there's that other side of football, man. We always appreciate the time, Yogi. Thank you so much for shedding your thoughts and some light on the Oregon coaching search, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Like the time we are in college football where I was telling my partner, Ted Robinson, this morning, no one can still screw with the 60 minutes and 53 and a third by 120 yards. Like, nobody can mess with that still, but all the other stuff, the amount of money, what Miami did to Manny Diaz, to me is part of the business, but gross.
Yep.
Like, you're right. How crappy is business? Maybe that's the hashtag of the day.
All right. Thanks a lot, Yogi. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Later.
Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network. I mean, that's a look. This is why immediately you want to reach out. You want to try to get on the phone and talk to as many people as you can, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked to three different guests today. Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor, who covers locally, right?
Yep.
Chris Vanini of The Athletic, who covers coaching carousels at the national level. And then Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network. You have got the same names that mm-hmm. continue to pop up no matter who we're talking to. They are Dave Aranda, Justin Wilcox, Kalani Sitake, Matt Campbell. I mean, these are, you know, Yogi threw out Luke Fickell, which I would not imagine that one's going to be in play just because they're in the college football playoff right now.
Right.
And he's not going to answer the phone for anything like that, but it's still one of those situations that, hey, same names continuing to pop up. And those are the ones where on day one, you try to get the idea because everybody's reaching out.
Yes.
And trying to gauge interest on from alums like you and I've been asking football alums at Oregon mm-hmm. what they feel and how they feel to, you know, people in the business side of it.
Yep. I also think that what Yogi said about reaching out to recruits is really important.
Yes.
Because I think if I'm a high school kid and a high school football player and I have been recruited this whole time and sold on something, whether it's Mario Cristobal or whoever else has been recruiting me at this point, there's a bit of a frenzy happening and you just sort of go, I don't want to be the one who's left without a chair, right? Like yep. When the music stops, I don't want to be the one left hung out to dry. And I think Yogi's idea about saying, hey, we're not putting pressure on you. We understand that this is a crazy business. And the last 3 days have brought a lot of change, not only with this university, but around college football. And so we would love for you to still just understanding the human element of it for the high school athlete. I think if I was not only a high school athlete, but if I was the mom of a high school athlete,
yep.
that would go a very, very long way with me.
503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. An important piece in all of this is who's going with Mario.
Mm.
That includes coaches and players. And as recently as a couple of minutes ago, there is some news on the recruiting trail. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 503-250-1080. Important piece in all of this. Mario Cristobal going to Miami is who's going with him, right? He's pulling the Jerry Maguire. Who's coming with me?
Mm.
And there are some pretty easy ones that you sit there and they go, all right, yeah, no-brainers, right? Alex Mirabal is one.
Mm.
Like, that one seems to me like a no-brainer. Uh-huh. He is a known Mario Cristobal since high school, was a high school coach in the area of Miami, is from there. Like, he is Miami through and through. Mirabal, who's done a great job with the offensive line, he gone.
I think Aaron Feld is another name that you can assume is gone.
Came with him from Bama.
Mm-hmm.
Is strength and conditioning coach, which with the rash of injuries, that'd be an interesting one to see if they would maybe make a move this year anyways.
Yeah.
But I highly doubt it because he's done a really good job. There's a, you know, and then you have names like Brian McClendon, who was an SEC guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why he came to Oregon is because Mario Cristobal, a connection that he had with Mario Cristobal and just saying Oregon is that place for me because of Cristobal. He is a guy that his roots are not out here. They're not West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him going. Bobby Williams, another guy who has had a deep connection with Mario Cristobal. I could see him taking off and going. There are guys, though, that will stay on staff, though.
Yeah.
And I do think that, like, a guy like Tim DeRuiter, who's been a, you know, West Coast guy
mm-hmm.
and has ties out here, I could see him sticking around at least until a new head coach comes in and makes a call. Joe Salavea as well, with mm-hmm. his roots have all been on the western side of the country.
Yep. I think Marcel Yates is another one.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'll probably stick around. I know it's just his first season as a secondary coach, but he's been all over the Pac-12, pretty much. Jim Mastro, another one that...
Yeah, Nevada,
his,
yeah.
Yeah, his ties are all very much West Coast.
Rod so. Chance as well. There and Ken go. Wilson. I can see all those guys kind of sticking around and being out here because this is where the roots are. And that's why, you know, that is one thing that made the staff so good on the recruiting trail, though, is because of the diversity and backgrounds of where they are in different parts of the country, right?
Coast to coast.
Yeah. You know, Joe Moorhead was a guy and rooted in the Midwest, you know, or Pittsburgh and then Ohio.
Yeah.
And that's what made them really good recruiters. And then you have guys like, and I've been, I've seen this from actually a more than a couple former players that have said, if you want loyalty in this head coaching search, like where you make that loyalty is you have guys as assistants who also love the program.
Yeah.
And Nate Costa is a guy who was he's a senior analyst right now for the offense. Could he become a position coach moving forward? A guy who played at Oregon, loves the Ducks and staying there. Like you're not worried about guys like that leaving. And so I think that at least for the bowl game, especially most of the staff will be intact moving forward. And from there, there's a certain handful of names that you know are going to be gone. Right. But there could be also a lot of continuity in guys that aren't ready to bolt just because a new coach comes in.
And as far as I know, unless I've missed some breaking news during this program, we don't have there's no interim head coach has been named.
No, everybody's kind of pointing to it in all likelihood being Tim DeRuiter,
right,
or Jim Mastro. Mm-hmm. You know, take your pick on that one. But as you know, we had Tyson Alger on earlier. Could be Mike Bellotti.
I like that. I think that's fun. I think that's very fun.
The other one on the recruiting trail is that we started off the show talking about at the beginning, Tanner Bailey, a four-star quarterback out of the state of Alabama. He has decommitted from the Ducks. And then within the last hour, within the last half hour, four-star linebacker TJ Dudley has also decommitted from Oregon, both of those guys from the state of Alabama. So you will have decommitments that do roll their way through here. The recruiting class will take a hit. But the thing that sticks out to me is what happens in the portal. You get one freebie now.
Yep.
Retention has been very good at Oregon. A lot of guys aren't going into the portal.
Yeah.
This will be the fascinating part for me is... It's not a secret. Guys go and they play for their coach, right?
Yeah.
Like we'd all love to say that every single player that is committed to Oregon is only going there because they love Oregon so damn much. A lot of those guys, they went for the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you go. They win you over. They're the ones recruiting.
Yep.
The brand of Oregon, the school of Oregon, the program that it is, and growing up with it, that does play a role. But the coach is the reason.
A massive part of it.
This will be the interesting part is... what happens in the era of it could be a revolving door. A lot of these guys are going to wait, but remember, next year is the year, right?
Theoretically,
next year is the year that they were gearing up for. The cupboard won't be bare if whoever the next head coach is comes in and they make their mark with these guys in this roster.
Yep. And I think that's why, again, going back to Yogi, what he said about recruits is that I know Rob Mullins has a lot on his plate today, but I am absolutely delegating somebody to be talking to recruits nonstop.
Yes.
Nonstop.
Ah, and your current players, too.
And your current players.
Which I think is something that should be on the back burner, because if you're Rob Mullins, every AD, by the way, has a list of candidates. It's your... break glass in case of emergency, and it's continually updated of guys that you're targeting, guys that you like, things that would be guys that you feel would be a good fit at your program.
And probably, if we're being honest, guys that you've talked to their agents
absolutely
in the past and just said, hey, how's it going?
What are you thinking? And, you know, Mario Cristobal has made Oregon more attractive on a national level.
Yep.
And that comes down to, we've got a lot of feedback in on the fan text line, 503-250-1080. We'll get your feedback. Who do you want as Oregon's coach?
Ooh.
Here's Will.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Mirror.
503-250-1080. We've been telling you who we feel would be great for the Oregon head coaching vacancy. You tell us. I love this one. Give Nick Saban an open checkbook and have him fill in the blanks. Just a little humor for you. Yeah, can be a 2-year rental, huh?
I mean,
let's go do it. Phil, you want that national title that bad? Let's go.
He likes lakes. We got a lot of them here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little colder.
No, it's
although
fine.
It can get pretty cold in the South. Bitterly cold. Actually, it can get bitterly cold in the South.
Yeah. Give me your top three Z's right now. If you are Rob Mullins right now, your wish list, what three would you like?
The three that I am calling first are Dave Aranda.
Yeah.
Kalani Sitake.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Wilcox.
Yeah. I think that's my three too. Maybe Matt. I'd put Matt Campbell. Actually, I'm going to put Campbell third.
As opposed to
Wilcox.
Wilcox?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go Matt Campbell third just to see. I don't know his fit, but you, with his results that he's gotten at a place that he has never been able to recruit, that would be interesting. But Dave Aranda, I think, is where this conversation should start. He hasn't signed the extension yet at Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's done a really good job there. You know, we were talking, we had old Chuck come in. Our controller Chuck came in during the break and we were talking to him about, you know, the new hire. And he was saying, just go out and try to get, you know, go and get someone, because coaching, a lot of Duck fans feel that Mario Cristobal and his staff in game and development, it wasn't great.
Yeah.
And if you can get a coach that is developing talent, that is the cupboards are not bare at Oregon.
Very true.
What about Joe Brady?
Joe Brady, the young hotshot play caller that just got fired yesterday by the Carolina Panthers in the NFL. Joe Brady's an interesting one because I don't know if he's head coach material, but he's a damn good coordinator. And there's already people saying, you know, Joe Brady to Miami should be Mario Cristobal. Try to get him on as offensive coordinator. Now, do you know what the riff was? The reported riff between Rhule and Brady? Matt Rhule wanted to run the ball more and Joe Brady wanted to throw the ball more. So if you think that if Matt Rhule fired Joe Brady over that, Mario Cristobal might murder Joe Brady over wanting to run the football instead of throw it.
You know, I've thought really about this position that's open for Oregon, and I think a lot of people are going about it, you know, one of two ways, right? Mm-hmm. You go either down the road of get the biggest name you can get with Chris Peterson, or go try to find somebody local that you can develop. You know, whoever that might be. But I think there's another way you can think about it as a satellite job. You can think of this as a position where, yes, it is a springboard that you're going to probably bring in some of the most talented coaches who will leave after 3 or 4 years. But you basically just keep that window open and you go looking for talent every single time. That's the reason I bring Joe Brady's name up, is that, yeah, he's never been the head coach of a college before, but I'm sure there's some way you can alleviate that by bringing in advisors, by bringing in possibly maybe somebody like Chris Peterson, who can act as a shadow head coach in a way of like, hey, do this, don't do this. And you can't tell me a 32-year-old Joe Brady going into some dude's house in California and telling him, hey, I used to work with Joe Burrow. I get it that Lincoln Riley did all that stuff, but I used to work very personally with Joe Burrow. I can do that for you too. That's appealing.
Yeah, no, that is appealing, but you also have, you have a factor of having that young guy. Like Chris Peterson is up at UW right now. That didn't work out for Jimmy Lake.
Yeah.
You know, and getting a guy like a Chris Peterson to come down, I know that that name has been floated by a lot of fans. He doesn't want that anymore. He's been very clear that he doesn't want that anymore. And the door was open for him to go back to UW.
Yeah, I don't think that's the fit. I don't think that's happening.
We have a texter who's very adamant. David Shaw should get a look here. Up at what? Why do you laugh at that? I mean, he's one of the best coaches in the conference.
I don't think David Shaw would leave Stanford for Oregon.
I don't think
that's
he would
why
either.
I laugh at it.
I think that that
it's
is
not
a good
his
chuckle.
Qualifications. It's a good chuckle because isn't he the highest paid coach in the conference right now?
Yeah, we don't know. Yes, there is that, but we don't know because Stanford doesn't let their numbers out. But yes, there was that report that he got paid like a one-time salary this year that was astronomical.
Yeah.
But going out and try, what's the hurt in it? And sure, there's just this text that says Dave Aranda and Brady together. Dave Aranda and Joe Brady won a national championship together at LSU.
Mm.
And open up, if that checkbook is wide open, go do it.
Yep.
And again, I think you could do that same thing where you basically, you know, consider the role as, because I know a lot of Oregon fans think back to Rich Brooks and they think back to Mike Bellotti and Chip Kelly and Mark Helfrich and this whole passing on of the guard at Oregon. But I think you have to realize in modern college football, it's probably not like that anymore. You're not going to get too many cases like James Franklin or like Harbaugh you have at Michigan, even though if you talk to half of Michigan fans, they didn't want him there a month ago.
Right. Well, no, that's the thing is that everybody wants loyalty until you get the loyal guy who doesn't live up to your national title aspirations. And
Mark Helfrich.
And then, well, no, Jim Harbaugh.
Or Jim
People
Harbaugh.
People wanted Jim Harbaugh run out of there. He restructured his contract to be more school friendly. And now they're in the college football playoff.
Right. I think that's what I keep going back to is like
his job to save his butt.
I think that loyalty, I think this like, and I'm like, my goodness, I fall into that all the time. Just like personally, I'm like, you just want a one time fix, right? Like you're so tired of this. You're so tired of being left. If you're an Oregon fan for a head coach moving on, right? Like you're so tired of being burned in this way. I want a fix. I want something where I never have to feel this way again. But that's not the, you could get Justin Wilcox, who is that hometown guy, right? Like Justin Wilcox is that guy. He is the one who Oregon would be it for him. And it could A, not work. B, it could work very, very well. And all of a sudden he has NFL aspirations. Like there's no guarantees in this life, regardless of what your sort of hometown ties are. And so I think that there's a danger in leaning too much that direction, like what you're talking about, Will.
It was very interesting because I text a bunch of former players at Oregon from, you know, all throughout the decades, right? Because think of it in these terms. Oregon had two head coaches from 1977 through 2008.
Sheesh.
Rich Brooks and Mike Bellotti, right?
Yeah.
And when you go back into the generations of guys that played in the 70s, 80s, 90s, loyalty kept popping up because they were all part of teams that they were built off of development,
right?
And getting the overlooked guys and squeezing every single ounce out of them that you possibly can. When you get to the younger generation of alums, the 2000s, 2010s, recruiting was way higher.
Yep.
And there is something that how do you weigh this world in this generation of college football where guys are jumping around and being at a blue blood program doesn't, it no longer means that you're at the best job. See what we've seen in this cycle. Notre Dame loses their coach to LSU. Oklahoma loses theirs to USC. And now Oregon loses theirs to Miami, which Miami is the blue blood. But if you look in the last 20 years, which program has been exponentially better?
Yep.
It's been Oregon.
Yeah. And I think this is, it's interesting too, because there's an element of society being mirrored here, right? Because you think about when Brooks was there, when Bellotti was there, the workforce in general was very loyal to the places they worked, right? Like my parents' generation, the generation before them were very loyal to their companies, right? Because companies treated people incredibly well. There were pensions, there were all these things. You look around and in our generation, I think there's more of an expectation. I don't think companies got away from that, right? Like they got away from that idea. And now there's people in our generation who move jobs quite a bit more than certainly my parents' generation ever did. And so I think part of that is a societal change, is that there is this expectation of this norm of if it doesn't fit anymore, it's fine to move on.
Yeah.
Whereas that was not necessarily the case in the 80s and the 90s. It was, you know, suck it up, tough it out, keep going because loyalty matters.
I love these texts that are coming in at 503-250-1080. We're getting a lot of them. I did have a person text me this name, Deion Sanders, says you literally get recruits on name alone. And the text that I got was, F it. If you want recruiting, let's go get Neon.
Yeah.
There you go.
Again, satellite job. Deion would be there for all of 3 years, maybe. Because with that roster, you're going to win 10 or 11 games. I truly believe, especially in the Pac-12, because it'll take Lincoln Riley a smidge to get going.
Yeah.
You're going to win 10 or 11 games. Deion Sanders will get a heap of praise, and then he'll go to, like, Clemson or something.
Just go get Dabo.
But that flash in the pan, would it be worth it?
Yeah. There you go.
And if that flash in the pan brings you a natty?
Yes.
It doesn't matter who it is.
Just be the LA
Rams.
If they
get a national title, that doesn't matter who it is.
So be a flash in the pan.
Yeah. Be the LA Rams. Just it's cyclical.
Well, that's not working, though.
Oh, they're in the conversation. Yeah. They went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah. 503-250-1080. More of your feedback, AJ and Dusty on the fan.
Sponsored by BioNTech and Pfizer.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 503-250-1080. Shoot for the moon, guys. Shoot for the moon. Like, college football's in a weird place, too, because of some of the names. Like, Nick Saban is getting old. Like, some of the best coaches in the game are either old or have signed mega extensions at their previous school, right? Mm. It's a weird time. In college football, like this one, Kyle Whittingham away from Utah, or go internal with Joe Moorhead. Moorhead's now the coach at Akron,
so he's gone.
Yep.
Isn't Kyle Whittingham supposed to retire soon?
That's the thing, is that he said he's going to retire in the next three years because he just turned 62. That he's gone. But look, this is the thing about it. Oregon will be in a good place because the roster is actually really good. The next head coach, you just got to have to go. It is not a roster construction issue. I saw your face light up over there.
That was just funny.
If you have the portal just isn't absolutely ravaged, and which I don't expect it to be.
No, I don't think so either.
And you get a great head coach coming in, this program will be okay.
Yes.
Mark Helfrich was still able to guide a cupboard that was pretty full to a national championship,
yep.
Right? In a semifinal win over Florida State, right? You can still win, and every coach that's come through Oregon has had success, including Willie Taggart on the recruiting trail, not on the field as much, but even though it was quick, boom, they got back on the right track relatively quickly. It is a good job.
Yeah, it's a great job. Great job. Lots of money, lots of perks.
Oh, man.
But if I see one more Urban Meyer text,
he's a good coach, terrible person.
Yep.
Yeah. Well.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's a no for you.
That's a no from me.
Yeah, I don't like
it's that. It's a hard pass from me.
What for Urban?
Yes.
What about John Gruden?
Nope.
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 What if John Gruden took a pay cut?
No.
No?
Don't.
No, it's not happening.
All right, fine. Look, no. I'm trying to make John Gruden happen.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not happening.
That would not ever happen.
Nemec
said
here,
years.
He goes, oh, Mike Tomlin. You got to go get Tomlin. Mike Tomlin.
Dude, Nemec is saying that because his mentions are a lot like ours here.
Mm.
Mike Tomlin's name has popped like every name under the sun. But there is something very real about this. I will say this. If the early signing period didn't exist, there would be a shot of going to get Matt Rhule at the end of the year but you'd have to wait till the NFL season wrapped up with Carolina. Mm. That, I could see that happening, but that would never happen with the current age. You need a coach and you need one soon.
Yes.
You need to go and get him.
Yes,
you
do.
Before the NFL season's over, that's for damn sure.
My sources are saying Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy, no quiet strength.
Now, do you remember when Tony Dungy got rumored for the Notre Dame job after Charlie Weiss left?
He got a quiet strength.
And his response was, can I give an answer anywhere further than no?
Yeah. No, you can't. And I know Chip's name's been floated out there. I think that would be I think they're going pretty far down the list there.
Mm.
Because if you ask me, you go after Aranda, you go after Matt Campbell, and you go after the guy who's going to say there's no shot in hell probably in the next show. Kalani Sitake, because Suka's a BYU alum, and he's not going to give him up that easily.
No. No, he will not.
All right. Wild Monday. We'll be back Tuesday. I'm sure this whole thing will slow down.
LOL, because we talked at all about the NFL this week.
Yep. All right. Snowstorm in Monday Night Football,
Yuck.
Though, so we got that.
Yuck.
All right. Primetime, Sook and Nemec next on The Fan. Oh, SNL. Sook Nemec Lynch version of Primetime on The Fan.